Welcome. This is Jessica Ortner. And if you're listening to this bonus, then you have read or you might be in the process of reading my book, The Tapping Solution for Weight Loss and Body Confidence. First, let me say that I am so grateful that you are joining us. This really is a sisterhood, and we are here to support each other. And I hope that this interview supports you in feeling better than ever. When I work with clients, a common block around feeling confident in their body is the way that they view aging. We have certain beliefs around getting older that can work against our bodies and can work against our happiness. So today we are busting these beliefs, and we are going to help you tap into the goddess that you truly are. To lead the way, we're speaking to a dear friend of mine, Dr. Christiane Northrup. Dr. Northrup has jumped through hoops that make her a trusted global authority on women's health. She is a board-certified OBGYN and former assistant clinical professor of OBGYN, both at Tufts New England Medical Center and the U of Vermont College of Medicine. She was in private practice for 27 years and understands exactly what it takes for women to get and stay vibrantly healthy. She is the author of two New York Times best-selling books, Women's Body, Women's Wisdom, and The Wisdom of Menopause. Dr. Northrup has hosted 7 highly successful public television specials. She's been a frequent guest on Oprah, Dr. Oz, Rachel Ray, NBC Nightly News, and many more. And today she's hanging out with us. So welcome, Dr. Northrup.
Why, thank you. So what a fun thing.
This is going to be so fun. I am so excited about this topic. You have a new book called Goddesses Never Age, The Secret Prescription for Radiance, Joy, and Vitality. And I know that you now look younger than when you were 40. So can you tell us how this is possible? Can we really feel more beautiful as we age?
Yes, we can. And I started this journey right around the time I was going through a divorce. I want to be 100% honest and vulnerable with everybody, because like so many women, and you know, we're talking about that you feel like you need the body, your body to be a certain way for you to be happy. Well, one of my beliefs was that I needed a husband replacement as quickly as possible in order for my life to be okay. And so I set out feeling really frumpy, but refusing to believe that this was it for me. And so I wanted to become the kind of woman that the kind of man I was looking for would be interested in. And that's the honest to God truth. Mm. I also had as a role model for becoming ageless a mother who really started a second life when my dad died. She was 52, and she then went on to become the mayor of the town I grew up in for about 8 years. And then she, you know, never had any opponents. People loved her. She did a great job. And then she wanted to do the whole Appalachian Trail and the 200 highest peaks in New England and buy a camper and literally go off and have the kind of life that, frankly, as a child, I knew she always wanted, because she was one of those caged lion mothers with 5 kids. Oh, my God, I got to do this. And I got to get dinner on the table, but I really, really, really would rather be off on skis. So the lead elephant in my particular matriarchal pathway is someone who then went on to go to Mount Everest Base Camp at age 84, which is 100 miles kind of straight up with no oxygen. That is not my idea of pleasure. However, what it did do for me was completely remove all the mythology that women think about in terms of deterioration with aging. So there's a couple things that I want to say about this. One, there isn't a question that chronic degenerative diseases become more common after the age of 50, but there's absolutely nothing about menopause or the age of 50 that biologically means that we are supposed to start deteriorating. So the first thing that people need to do is change their belief systems. And so let me just say, I'm just going to cut to the chase. Not only did I find that I was attractive to all kinds of men as time went on, and I learned how to dance tango, and I did various things and started Pilates and all the rest of it. But I actually now, and this is really interesting, now I feel better about my body than I did when I was 18. I'm a very late bloomer. And when you go to med school and you do a surgical residency and you do all that stuff, you don't actually start living your life in mainstream society, maybe ever, if you're one of those doctor surgical types. But I'll tell you what it does do for you. During the time when so many women are feeling their sexual power, Naomi Wolf wrote about it in The Beauty Myth, and using their looks to get full service for self-service prices, and feeling the power of turning heads when they walk into a room. That never happened in my whole life. I don't ever remember that as a reality. So I recall when women would say to me, nobody notices me anymore. And if you never, either I never had it or I never noticed, doesn't matter. I never had a sense of loss of power, probably because the power that I was brought up with, the things that our family valued, were all sports, physical prowess, strength. Nobody did hair and makeup. My sister was on the U.S. ski team. I remember once my mother said, I always thought I would have six boys. And I said, well, you did. So the other part of the equation here was that when I was in my 40s, when I was in my 30s, when all of that, I never, ever, ever felt like an attractive woman. I never had any sense of myself. I go back and look at my pictures from my honeymoon, and I think, oh my God, look at how lovely I was. Look at how thin I was. I married a man who, women should never do this, so let me give you the cautionary tale. When I met my husband, he was my surgical intern, I asked him what he thought of my weight. Dumb move, don't ever do it, but I did it. And he said, you could stand to lose 5 pounds. And I was 125 at that time. But in my body, it's like I felt as though I constantly didn't measure up and that he was the good-looking one. And I was lucky to have married a man that good looking. It was a complete reversal of the truth. So my foray into beauty, I never had a mani-pedi till after the age of 50. Never did it. It just wasn't part of the thing. So the good news about that is a whole new world opened up to me of clothing and style and beauty and paying attention to how I looked. The sort of thing that girls usually do in the eighth grade when I was getting all A's and classical migraine headaches. So what I would want to say to women is, this is your time. If you have put all your eggs in the basket of looking a certain way, of looking 25 or whatever, there's a couple things I want to say about good men. because I met many, many, many good men. And here's what I can tell you. Men don't care nearly as much as you think they do. They don't care. Now, the ones you see all over People magazine who are with, you know, who are 55 and with a 25-year-old, I can guarantee you that those men have never advanced much beyond the emotional age of a 7 to 12-year-old. So, frankly, they are not interesting. To me, they are not interesting.
Yeah.
So you want to start with, and here's what I did, and this is a really good idea. Start by looking for mentors who look the way you want to look, who are aging the way you want to age. The premise of my book is, and I learned this from Dr. Mario Martinez, who started the Institute for Biocognitive Science, which proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that our beliefs are far more influential in how we age than our genes. There's absolutely nothing about aging that is associated with deterioration other than our beliefs that that is what needs to happen. Yes. Here's an example. My mother, I think it's age 65 or something, you're supposed to choose a prescription drug plan for Medicare, which is just a big political boondoggle. Well, my mother said, you know, I'm not on any prescription drugs, so I didn't pick one. 20 years later, she got fined $500 for not having a Medicare prescription drug plan. Because, you know, in this country, prescription drugs for seniors, that was a kind of a political rallying call, that nobody can leave the planet without like 5 or 6 prescriptions. I want women to know that this is all a belief system. It's just based on a belief system. The same belief system that, you know, that breast cancer is likely to kill you. It isn't breast cancer that's likely to kill you. It is, of course, heart disease. But even women who know that will tell you, well, no, it's breast cancer. I know the answer is heart disease, but I'm going to say breast cancer because I want to be part of that club, because that club has all the feel-good martyrdom, run for the cure, pinker than thou kind of things going on in it. So I need to be part of that club. I say, don't be part of any of those clubs. Create your own club and begin to study health, beauty, and pleasure. I see that Gloria Steinem just turned 80, and you know, when she was 50, Gloria had an iconic photo of herself in a bubble bath looking gorgeous. And the caption was, "This is what 50 looks like." And I think she's done it at each milestone birthday. Now she spends her time mostly in the air, flying around the world, doing political activism, and looking gorgeous. But that's not what we think of when we think of an 80-year-old. I have a friend, Gladys. She's 93. She's a physician. She still travels around the world to Afghanistan, all over the place. And her motto is 93 and prescription-free. So I would say you need to, the title of my book is Goddesses Never Age. And what I mean by that is the divine part of you never ages. It is immortal. And the more you fuel your life from this ageless part of yourself, from your soul, the more vitality, the more beauty, the more everything you have. I was just watching a documentary of Marion Woodman, the amazing Jungian, and she just radiates such beauty. The soul shines through her eyes. You could just weep being around her. So choose some of the mentors, and it is your time of life. Be frivolous. Pay attention to getting massages, things that feel good. And don't allow your age to be your cage, because chances are very good that if you think back on how you were in middle school, and that you didn't like how you look. Notice women in locker rooms do interesting things. Women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s will walk around naked in the locker room. We don't care. It's the 12 and 13 and 14-year-olds that are hiding their bodies. Their bodies will probably never look that good again, but they don't know it. So it's kind of a reversal. But my experience of attractiveness has been literally having more of my soul come into my body, have my life fueled by my soul. And that changes your looks. And by the way, anything else you want to do, plastic surgery, I get IPL, intermittent pulse laser, for the spider veins on my face that aren't there anymore, anything like that, I'm for that. But that's really individual. Mm-hmm. And you get to pick right. if you want to do that or not.
And Dr. Northrup, what would you say to somebody who is listening to this, but they're still wondering, well, what's the point of being attractive? You know, it goes back to that belief, which I think you're addressing, of women saying, well, it's too late for me. I don't need, you know, this is my life. It doesn't look like anything's going to change. Looking at wanting to be more attractive and look more beautiful, that's just vanity.
Tell that to all of the amazing flowers who knock themselves out to attract bees so that they get pollinated and so that we can have food on the planet. So are the lilies of the field just vain, or is there a purpose for the beauty? Now,
I love that.
I will say that the sort of hopeless pursuit of beauty, you know how we all see those pictures in National Enquirer and so on of people who went too far with plastic surgery, you know, and the lips are kind of all blown up, and you say, geez, I mean, couldn't she have noticed that she was going too far? So, you know, again, I think there comes a point where you finally realize that a smile and a spring in your step is the most beautifying thing you can possibly
yes.
do, and not taking yourself too seriously. I mean, what is a bigger downer than let me tell you what I will avoid at all costs. And I used to think, by the way, up until recently, I used to think, well, you know, I don't actually want to be around older women. Now I realize it has absolutely nothing to do with age. We have some women in our tango community in their 70s, and we've got ones in their 60s and 50s, and there's some women in their 30s who are such downers, I don't want to hang around with them. And then there are ones in their 70s who are hysterically funny, drive their cars too fast, and have a grand old time. So it all depends on how much goddess energy they're running in their system. So it doesn't matter if the age is completely irrelevant, but it's the amount of humor, the amount of life, the amount of life force going through you that matters. And then, you know, then you've got to wade through all of these stupid medical beliefs. And one is, you know, that cholesterol will kill you and you need a drug for your cholesterol. That's an erroneous belief. The things that you really need, chances are very good you won't get at a doctor's visit. So women become way too medicalized, where they're just, you know, constantly going in for this test and that test. And I don't do any of that. I really don't. You know, what I do for medical care is acupuncture and massage. And recently I've been doing a lot of fascial stretching with Bob Cooley in Boston. Completely rejuvenates tissue, because most aging of the physical body is from thickened dense fascia, the connective tissue that holds us together. And you can shred that with stretching. So that's very cool.
One thing I love so much about your work is that it's not focused on the problem or a disease. It's focused on health and thriving. And you were just mentioning that there are certain things that we can, that women can do that can really support us as we grow older, just in our everyday life to really thrive. So I know that you take, you know, a great, you take great, a lot of vitamins. And I'd like to know, what are some of the nutrients that all women really need to begin to pay attention to that can make us feel better physically and emotionally?
We know that having optimal, not adequate, optimal levels of vitamin D can cut your risk of cancer in half. Now, this should be on the front page of the New York Times, but it isn't. Because many times, between the time that researchers know something and it actually gets put into mainstream, is 10 or 20 years. So I want women to know they need enough vitamin D. Generally, enough means 5,000 international units a day in the winter months from in the Northern Hemisphere from October 15th through March 15th. And, of course, just the opposite down in South America. So that would be, you know, their summer or winter. You should probably get your level checked. It's interesting to me that our government is down on nutrients, but very up on drugs. So, for instance, if the government publishes a study of, you know, that vitamins are dangerous, every news media picks it up. They don't ever seem to mention the fact that about 450 people every year die from Tylenol complications. Tylenol! And it's also one of the number one reasons for liver and kidney transplants is acetaminophen. So we're, you know, we tend to be down on what we're not up on, says Linus Pauling. So vitamin D is one of the things that women need. The other thing they need for breast health is iodine. Iodine, we're discovering now that the fluoride in water, which is a toxin, by the way, read your toothpaste tube, and it will say right on there, you know, fluoride is a toxin. Nobody should be using toothpaste with fluoride, and you should be drinking water with no fluoride. Iodine is a halogen, like fluoride, chloride, bromide, and because of the toxins, bromide, fluoride, chlorine, that actually lifts the iodine that you need off your cells. And particularly for those who don't live along the shore, they're just not getting enough iodine. Breasts alone need 3 milligrams of iodine per day. There's a lot of different supplements available. You can use seaweed. Organic eggs contain iodine. So kelp tablets are a good way to get it. Or you can get any number of supplements. Lugol solution is available on the internet. Atomidine is an Edgar Cayce remedy. I'm currently taking one called Iodine Plus Dash 2. Let's see where this is available from. Iodineplus.com, imagine that. So that's another thing you can do. They're also for menopausal symptoms like hot flashes and inability to sleep. I have discovered one of the best kept secrets on the planet, which is an herb called Pereraria mirifica. And I've been working for 4 years to come up with a very specific supplement containing Pereraria mirifica for women. And my line of products is called Amata, A-M-A-M-A-T-A, which means eternal in Thai, the herbs from Thailand. And this Pereraria mirifica has been used for 700 years in Thailand to help men and women feel more vibrant. But the clinical studies on it show that women often feel much better with menopausal symptoms. I want to give you an anecdote that I was hilarious to me. So I'm going through the TSA at the airport in Portland, and a woman is there who recognized me from PBS. And she says, I am dying of hot flashes. Is there anything that you can recommend? And so I recommended this particular herb in another form. Next time I went back, 3 months later, she pulled me out of the line. She said, thank you so much. You've changed my life. So my experience with Ferrarium Morifica is that it is life-changing for many women. And I made sure that along with the Ferrarium Morifica, I have iodine also available in that supplement. So that should be out hopefully the end of April.
Perfect. Let's talk about, because I know there's two more that I hear you talk a lot about, which is magnesium and omega-3 fats.
Magnesium is absolutely essential for nerve conduction. Every nerve in the body to get a message across the gap, the synapse, requires magnesium to kind of light the match, as it were, to make that electrical spark. And most women do not get enough magnesium unless they're eating almost all organic foods. But stress of every kind, emotional stress, stress from coffee, sugar, alcohol, will eat up your magnesium. So you can get magnesium through an Epsom salt bath. A cup of Epsom salt soaking in the bath 20 minutes before going to sleep is extraordinarily helpful to get magnesium in the body. There are many, many different supplements. There's one I like called Calm. It is a flavored drink mix with no calories. And you can just put it in water. Very good before going to sleep or when traveling. So magnesium will very often stop a headache in its tracks. It's a wonderful, wonderful supplement. And you don't need to worry about ever taking too much, because you've all heard of milk of magnesia, right? And that's a laxative. So when you take too much magnesium, it will just cause loose stools and be excreted by the bowel. So that's magnesium. Then omega-3 fats are found in cold water fish like salmon. Better to have wild salmon than farmed salmon. And omega-3 fats are absolutely essential for your brain. Most of the brain and all the nerves are made from omega-3 fats. Those are found in flax seeds, nuts, marine algae, and cold water fish. You can also take omega-3s as supplements. Krill oil is a good omega-3. Many, many women find that they calm right down. So, you know, nice cocktail is omega-3 fats and some magnesium. And then walking, you know, just exercise will take care of depression 50% of the time. Mild depression is absolutely lifted by exercise 50% of the time. Drug companies are now making, they've just been approved a non-hormonal hot flash remedy. And believe it or not, that non-hormonal hot flash remedy that's now being touted all over the news is nothing more than low-dose Prozac. And I find this unconscionable, unconscionable. That this is what we have to offer women when there are so many better alternatives. So back to, you know, women wanting the body they had at 22, I sure don't care much about that because my body's better now than it was. What I want all women to have is the wise mind of someone who's 300 years old and who is no longer drinking the Kool-Aid that modern medicine is giving to them.
Right. Well, and besides modern medicine, there's also this really toxic culture of weight loss where we're so obsessed to drop the pounds that it's all about, well, what exactly do we need to eat to lose weight? And the question needs to be, what do we need to eat? What do we need to take to thrive? And I have to say, I take all of these. I take that magnesium powder, omega-3, iodine, and vitamin D. And I take them because it makes me feel good emotionally, mentally, and physically. And we have to be looking at all of those things and stop obsessing with what's going to make us drop pounds as quick as possible.
Well, let me just say, you know, Jess, one of the things that I have certainly learned from you, when you and I went through the tapping solution, and, you know, anyone can read about it because I wrote the foreword for Jess's book that hopefully you're holding in your hand right now. I discovered that my approach to weight loss was very much like my mother's approach to hiking. Don't ask for a lighter pack, ask for a stronger back. And if it isn't working, just do it harder. Just exercise harder, restrict your calories more. Well, I got a secret for everyone. That actually stops working about the age of 55. Your body will no longer respond so that you can lose 5 pounds in a week and get into that little black dress. And I have had, not only me personally, but friends as well, who have been on as little as 500 calories a day for a month. And I'm talking PhD women. We would send each other our sheets of paper because none of us could believe, and these are my doctor friends, none of us could believe our eyes, which is that our bodies literally would no longer lose weight doing all the things that we had always done. And the key for why this doesn't work and what will work is in your book, The Tapping Solution, because it all has to do with the fact that by that time of your constant discussion with your body is, I hate you, you're too fat, and I am going to wrestle you to the ground. And your body, like a oppositional defiant two-year-old, finally looks at you and says, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Are you going to try to do that one more time? Watch me. I won't budge. And I will tell you that from midlife on, the laws of biology, as you have been taught them, calories in, calories out, no longer work. So you have to change your approach to one of taking care of this precious, beautiful body. And the tapping solution will actually bring that those old beliefs up so that you can finally make peace with that. Essentially, this little kid inside you, or a 12-year-old from middle school, who just couldn't get thin enough to fit in with the mean girls, and finally let her speak and release her from this awful, awful bondage where you're constantly, I found myself, you know, talking to my body and my weight and the scale in a way that I was shocked by when my friend Dorothy Cohen, who is a therapist and does work with dreams and so on, said to me, you're talking to your body and your weight just like those patients who are afraid of their breasts, who are always worried that their breasts are going to turn on them. You know, that's the way we doctors treat breasts, as two pre-malignant lesions sitting on a woman's chest who she has to monitor constantly or they will kill her. That's the conversation in women's health around breasts, a conversation that I have never personally had, and my breasts never scared me and I'm never worried about them and all the rest of it. So I was shocked to realize that I was actually talking about my weight and my size, and my body looks exactly the same way. Exactly. That's what the tapping solution can finally turn around, so that your body is your ally and the war ends.
And the war ends. And when that war ends, we can just do so many amazing things in this world. And like that flower, things become easier. We begin to attract things to us that make life even better. And so I think this conversation is so inspiring. And I hope if anyone had ever had the thought, it's too late for me, that you just completely knocked that one out.
I remember just when I was, first starting to learn tango, and there's a lot of what's called counter body movement. So the whole lower body and the whole upper body have to completely dissociate. And at first, you know, it would hurt my back. And I had that feeling, oh my God, you know, it's too late. Do I have arthritis in my lower spine and all of that? And of course, what I learned is that I simply needed to learn how to make those movements and change the connective tissue in the body so that it would make those movements. And when you're learning something and you're 50, you attribute limitations to age. When you're learning something and you're 25, you just attribute it to you're not conditioned in that particular way yet. So you're absolutely right, Jess. We first begin by changing the meaning we give to something. And I would remove the phrase, at my age, because it's literally irrelevant. It's irrelevant unless you make it relevant.
Absolutely. Well, this has been such a fascinating conversation and, like always, an incredible amount of fun. Thank you so much. And Dr. Northrup, where can people find out more about you if they want to read your book or any of your other great books and resources?
Right. First thing I would do is sign up for my e-newsletter, which you can do by going to drnorthrup.com, my website. My blogs are over there on the website. And also, I have a very active Facebook group, Dr. Christiane Northrup, and Twitter as well. So I would, if you're a Facebook person, we're over there having conversations all the time. A lot of stuff going on over at drnorthrup.com so that you can stay in touch with me. As I launch this, my fourth big book. I have written these big books all during Saturn cycles where I have to learn something thoroughly. And the last big book like this was Mother-Daughter Wisdom in 2005. So this is the next kind of magnum opus, Goddesses Never Age. You know, my latest, I call it my shot over the bow at ageism.
I love it. And we are so grateful. It's so good, all this information. So once again, thank you very much. And we'll all make sure to stay connected and keep this sisterhood growing.
Very good. All right, Jess. Thanks.